Palm Sunday walk down past the descent of Mount Olives, where Jesus referred to the stones crying out, the Orthodox cemetery. We've walked by a very unusual site, a Jewish Messianic believers little cemetery, and we went to the place, the traditional place of tears. It happened somewhere along here. But we know it was not the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there was more sorrow. He sweat, as it were, drops of blood in such agony. I want to read the story in Mark. You can, of course, read it in other Gospels. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. And when they sang a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Yeshua said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. After we're done here, we're going to Caiaphas's house, and you will want to remember what Peter said here. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. It wasn't just Peter. Then they came to the place which is called Gethsemane, which means an olive press. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here and remain quiet while we hear the other service finish.
It makes good background.
Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And they began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. Behold, the Son of the hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. As soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. One of them stood by, drew a sword. We know from another gospel that was Peter. And he smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. His name was Malchus. Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out against a thief with swords? and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Yeshua away to the high priest. That's where we're going next. In just a quick review of what happened here, and to make it personal for all of us, it seems to me that the promise of Peter reveals our inability to understand ourselves. We always think we know what we're going to do. We always think we know how we're going to respond. But we really don't. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is I, the Lord, that searches the reins of the heart." You don't know yourself, and you don't know anybody else either. That's why you're not to judge anybody's motives, because you don't know what they are. They don't even know. So you're really wasting your time and getting all upset. Peter really reveals that here in the promise he made. "Hey, don't all these guys turn their back on you, not me. You're looking at Simon Peter. Nobody shows me around." Secondly, the prayer of Yeshua reveals the importance of submission to God for all of us. Now, what was he asking? Actually, if you read all the Gospels together, you know the cup was a cup of suffering. He, knowing all things, knew what suffering would come to the physical body he had taken when he came into this world. He was asking the Lord to take that cup away from him, not death, suffering. Hebrews 5, 7 to 9 makes that very clear. Why did he do this? And the Bible tells you that also. "He suffered for us," said Peter, "leaving us an example that we should walk in his steps." It seems to me that we don't get pushed very often, but sometimes it comes along and you know the meaning of "not my will, but thine be done." Everybody thinks they know the will of God. Actually, we don't know anything. A young man called me on the phone and said, "I'm a young pastor and I've got an opportunity to go to Hawaii or Kansas. And I want to know the will of God for my life." I said, "That is so easy. Go to Hawaii. I've been to Kansas." And it's easy, isn't it, to think that you know what the will of God is. And you really don't. The Bible says this is the will of God, to give thanks in everything. There are some specific statements about the will of God that we don't often pay attention to. "But not my will, but thine be done." The prayer of Yeshua was for us to understand our weakness. We want to do what we want to do. We even ask other folks to pray, and if they agree with us, then that must be the will of God. Are you kidding? If the Apostle Paul ran his life like that, we wouldn't have the New Testament. He had to go against what people said was the will of God, because he knew what God had told him. The third thing I draw to your attention is that the plot of Judas and the Jewish leaders reveals the inconsistencies with which we can respond to Yeshua. I listed them for myself. Maybe you want to jot them down. Look up later. We have the case of Judas. Talk about an inconsistency. Two, we have the case of the multitude. Three, we have the case of Peter himself. Four, we have the case of the disciples. According to verse 50, they all forsook him and fled. And fifth, we have the case of a certain young man. When they grabbed him, they took his outer tunic and off he went. Who's that young man? Well, it's customary when you write scripture, especially, and you're referring to yourself, that you never call yourself by your first name. I think he's talking about Mark. Mark, who wrote this story, was there, scared to death. He ran off. They grabbed his coat and he left it. A lot of inconsistencies here, aren't there? And we're going to hear a lot more when we get over to Caiaphas' house. I love that place. Not because it's pleasant, it's a torture chamber. But it tells us a lot of what we don't know about ourselves. These same disciples were warned by Yeshua that before this night is over, you're going to suffer. They kept on suffering. In Acts 5, they were beaten so badly, most men died under it. But they walked clear from Caiaphas' house back to the Temple Mount and ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, even though they were warned that if you do it, we're going to do you again. Exactly where do you draw the line? The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. That lesson was learned right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'd like to sing, but I don't want to anger this priest any more than he already is. So, I come to the garden. I'm kidding. We better not sing. Maybe we sit on our way out. Because the only way he could stop us, he'd have to stop his meeting, and then he'd have to run after us.